Welcome back to Yang Daily. Sorry for the late post. I barely made it through this one. This cold's starting to sap my energy, and there's still so much news every day. Let's get to it. We have confirmation that the Phase 3 relief bill has been revised to remove the previous penalties and exclusions against low-income citizens in regards to the one-time payout. Anyone with income under $75,000 will now get the full $1,200 check if they filed their taxes in 2018 or 2019. Even if you have no income, you need to file. It can be easily done online with TurboTax's free version or through the IRS's portal in the links below. Not sure when the cutoff is, so I would advise submitting them as soon as possible. Word is the checks might not be arriving until May. So an improvement for sure. It's still unforgivable that it's not recurring and that it has means-testing barriers to entry. Millions of Americans do not file taxes and will not be tracking this issue closely enough to know that they need to file. If you know anyone in that group, please inform them. We also found out that Lindsey Graham was the chief architect behind the removal of the second citizen's check, as if we needed any more reason to hate him. If that's not enough to get your blood boiling, consider also that the Senate is planning to take a lengthy recess following the signing of the Phase 3 bill, maybe as much as a month. Sure, because everything will be totally fine once we have that unemployment, which we can't access, and $1,200 to last, like, 3 months, right? Not to mention the virus hitting its high point, our health services being overwhelmed, and every state on its own deciding how much to quarantine, and the economy plunging further into turmoil. I can't see any need for further action. You all go ahead and take your well-deserved vacation for the incredible work you've done here in utterly failing your constituents. The Phase 3 bill has still not passed, despite both parties reaching agreement late last night and saying they would sign it into law today. Further arguments broke out over the slush fund of corporate loans being left to the secretary's discretion, which Bernie held up the bill for, and a $600 bonus to unemployment benefits, meaning some people would make more on unemployment than at their job, which Lindsey Graham, Tim Scott, Rick Scott, and Ben Sasse held up the bill for. Frankly, I don't see any reason to be stopping aid for either of those. The slush fund isn't free money, it's just a loan. Yes, corporations should be more responsible, and I might even prefer we not bail them out and let them get their own loans, but is it a big deal? Not really. The government will get that money back eventually. As for the unemployment benefits, are Republicans really worrying about paying too much money into the hands of consumers during an economic crisis that is cratering demand? I'm not too worried about that. Err on the side of too much rather than too little. I do wish they'd put that into a UBI instead of UI so that it didn't leave others out, but they need to stop screwing around and get this thing done. Then they need to start working on a proper UBI. Scott reminds us of this in a tweet today, saying that we need to start pushing for the next bill now because the one-time check is laughably insufficient to last through the crisis. It isn't even sufficient to cover the damage that's already been done while Congress played games with our lives, much less what's coming in the months and even years ahead. Scott wants us to get the word out on who gets left out by this and exactly how it fails to meet the occasion, so as to put pressure on Congress and open people's eyes to the need for true UBI. I agree completely. We need to be getting Scott and Andrew and others out into the media to speak on these specifics and educate the public so they know there's a better way and that Congress is actively avoiding it. We need to make it clear to people that Congress could have just crafted a separate bill for a UBI and passed it immediately before arguing about everything else. And we need to make it clear that this bill is still needed. I think we need to get back to our actions during the campaign, where we pressured high-profile media individuals to host our people and broadcast their message, i.e. politely shout out Rogan, Oprah, major news networks, etc., until they relent. On that note, Scott also made an appearance on Faultline Radio to discuss UBI. I highly suggest you give it a listen because Scott does a fantastic job arguing for UBI here. He hits on the consequences of universality, how UBI works, how UBI would provide the right incentives on both ends of the crisis to first help people quarantine and then to not dissuade returning to work when it's time, the way unemployment would, how it differs from what's in the Phase 3 bill, and so on. He really phrases it all perfectly, and it's very persuasive in my opinion. Scott's portion starts at 28 and a half minutes in. Links below. Yang also made his visit to the 1A podcast. Didn't hear any of my questions asked, unfortunately. Not any particularly interesting questions or answers in general, frankly, and it was quite short. I don't think there's any new information for our community, but link is below if you want it. And UBI caucus member Blair Reynolds must agree with Scott's assessment because he is asking for people who are underserved by the stimulus package to share their story with him as he is crafting a collection to send to Congress. I think efforts like these are very important and that we should also get them into the media so everyone can understand the not-so-obvious ways in which Congress is selling American short. Meanwhile, in Canada, 60 CEOs employing over 200,000 workers have jointly petitioned the government to employ an emergency UBI to mitigate the damage of the pandemic and get the economy on track for recovery. The Canadian government just finished replacing their unemployment benefits with a flat $2,000 benefit lasting 4 months after seeing the UI system collapse under unprecedented strain, having provided benefits to under 20% of applicants. It seems they're realizing that UBI is the way to go, one piece at a time. Now make it universal and permanent, Canada, and you will be the envy of the world. Yang tweeted today that the crisis text line is overwhelmed and is looking for volunteers to help guide and counsel people in crisis. If you need counseling or wish to help, follow the link below. Yang also tweeted a new website created by health professionals that offers projections for each state on how the virus will play out over the next 3 months based on the level of quarantine adopted. It's pretty shocking. The difference in projected deaths between no shutdown and shelter in place is anywhere from 10 to 100 times, depending on how infected the state already is. It also offers graphs that show the hospital bed capacity versus how many beds will be needed, depending on the different actions. It helps put things in perspective. Lastly, Humanity Forward has officially endorsed their first congressional candidate, Jermaine Johnson, running in South Carolina. We covered him before, but Johnson was Yang's campaign chair, so this endorsement shouldn't be too surprising. It will be interesting to see if HF adds to the list. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Get your taxes filed, listen to Scott's excellent podcast cameo, add your STEM story to Reynolds' letter, set a daily alarm for the Income Movement conference call, catch up on the Income Movement YouTube channel, sign all the petitions, volunteer or donate on the Humanity Forward Relief site, consult HF, the Income Movement Aid Database, or United Way if you need help. Message Trump, Pelosi, McConnell, Graham, Dean, and Schumer why true UBI stimulus is the best solution. Use ResistBot or Income Movement to easily contact your representatives. And don't forget to Yang Daily.